Hallelujah. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1. Proverbs 16, 1. Hallelujah. Everybody that's there, raise your hand. Everybody that's not there, raise your hand. We got a lot of people slow. Is it on the screen? Nope. See, if it's on the screen, you could just say it was on the screen. There it is right there. Here's what it says in the version that I have. This is the King James Version here on the screen, I believe. I have another version. It reads this way. We humans make plans, but the Lord has the final word. How many believe God has the final say? Come on, somebody say, God's got the final say. Life has brought us many challenges as a family, and our confidence and trust has always been in the Lord. That God is for us, and that if God is for us, it doesn't matter who's against us. That's the best part about being a born-again believer, is we have the confidence in Him that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He heard us. And if we know He heard us, then we know we have the petitions we've desired of the Lord. Isn't it good to know that God hears you when you pray to Him? Somebody ought to say amen. Now, we practice this at the beginning of the service. So when I say something good, I expect to hear some amens. Amen? Amen. God has the final say. He's the one who decides. I remember that we had just gotten started in this building, and there was another church that was behind us in the youth building that's back behind there. And we were being as well adjusted to all of that, because they had a guy that played the bass guitar, and they would turn the bass guitar so loud that he would drown me out when I preached. And so one Sunday, I had a special guest here preaching, and while she was preaching, I think they had opened the doors because they had not let the, they hadn't, something was wrong with the air conditioning, or I'm not exactly sure, but they'd opened the doors, and so they were playing, and all the music was coming right across here, and it came to our platform, and you couldn't even hear the girl speak. So while she got up, I got up out of the seat and walked across the street and thought, I'm just going to go ask the pastor if he wouldn't mind cutting that down while she's preaching. So I went over there. They thought I was coming with the police or something. I don't know what, but they acted all weird. And I sat down next to the pastor on the front row, and I said, listen. I said, we can't hear the speaker speak. Would you mind if you turned down the bass guitar? I thought they were going to throw me out. I didn't know what was going on. They were not happy with the situation. And it wasn't very pleasant. And apparently that didn't go over well. I don't know if that would have went well with me either. But I needed to hear the girl speak. So I got to praying about the church, and I got to asking God, I don't know what to do about this. I don't want it to disrupt, you know, what we're doing in our church. I know you love them, and I know you love us. And, you know, my original thought was, I'm going to pray that God will shut them down. How many of you all would have done that? You say, God, strike them with lightning. I didn't pray that, though, thank God, no. I got to praying, and as I'm praying, the Lord put it in my spirit, Lord, I pray that you give them another place, or you fix the situation. Lord, you know, I don't want to see them closed down, but Lord, help them to find another place. Do you know, within just a few weeks, they had moved out of that building, and the owner called me. He called me across the street. He said, listen, I've got this building has opened up. He gave me some instructions on what was going on. He said, I'd like to rent it out. Do you want to rent it? And the Lord gave us the building across the street to rent initially. We gutted it out, and then we bought the building. So now we own the building across the street, and God moved them down the street. You know, God knows how to take care of you. You might think you're in an isolated position and you can't find your way out, but I want you to know something. God's got a way out. I want you to look at somebody and say, God has a way out. God has a way to turn it around. How many believe God has a way to turn it around? Hallelujah. You know, the devil may try and stop you up and stop you from moving forward and stop you from aggressing and progressing, but God has a way to make you move forward. He's going to make your way straight. He's going to move mountains if he has to, open rivers along the way, stop lions' mouth if he has to, but God knows how to get you from A to B. Somebody ought to say amen. Look at somebody and say, God has a way to get me to the next level. Say this, God has a way to get me to the next place. And say this, if God be for me, it doesn't matter who's against me. God works it all out. I had a situation with a house one time where I was trying to build a house. And I got a contractor together, and we finally lined everything up. Got all the land together, and it was time to put, you know, the house up and so on and so forth. Got the contractor. I went to the contractor, and I gave him $35,000. I had renovated a house. I'd learned to follow that. I would flip houses, and I had flipped a house and had money. And so after flipping this house, I had $35,000 cash, you know, available. So I gave him $35,000 cash to begin the process. And we had the mortgage loan for the building of the house. And as we're going through to build this house, you know, he spent the $35,000 maybe on previous bills. I'm not exactly sure what he did with it. And then he'd gone down to the lumber company, bought all the lumber, and had it all shipped out to the property and started putting up the lumber. And a good portion of the lumber for the framing was out. And then I got a phone call all of a sudden from the bank. And so the bank called me up and said, I need you to come sit down with us. We need to talk to you. So I went down there, and they had two or three guys sitting in the room. And the fella sitting across the table says, your contractor has taken $65,000 out at a lumber company and bought all that lumber and put that lumber up on that property. And he's beyond the initial in the loan deposit that they would give towards building the property, and we need to make sure we're going to be all right, blah, blah, blah. And so anyway, I'm sitting there. I'm $65,000 debt to the bank. I gave him $35,000. I'm $95,000 short on the initial draw of the house, and all we got's a few walls framed up and some a little bit of roofing timber. I know y'all think we don't go through things, but I've learned something about faith. You got when you're walking through life, you better walk by faith and not by sight. Look at somebody and say, you better walk by faith and not by sight. I mean, I'm excited about this up to this point. Now we're sitting there, and essentially they're saying, we're coming to get it. We're going to come and get your house. We're at a point where we've got to make a decision. What are you going to do about this house situation? Well, at that point, I got to tell you the truth. I had no idea. Have y'all ever been at a point where you had no idea? I thank God for Jesus. Somebody say, thank God for Jesus. Do you understand when he died on the cross and shed his blood for us, that everything we needed, he had done? That everything that was a problem in our life, he had fixed it. Every challenge that we had faced or would face, he took care of it. The Bible says that he became a curse for us. For cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree, that the blessings of Abraham would not come up, or had come upon him, would not come upon us. In other words, there were three curses of the law. The first curse of the law was sin. That was the very first curse of the law. It lasted. And what happened was, is in the Old Testament, they would bring, you know, blood and pour it over sacrifices and do all those things. And it would cover the sin. It didn't forgive the sin. It didn't wash the sin away. It was just a covering so that, you know, that God would look down and wouldn't see it. You know, an example of that would be the ark, where they had the ark and they would put the old broken law of God was inside the ark of the covenant, which was in the tabernacle. And they would pour blood over the top of that ark. And when they poured that blood over the top of the ark, God would not be able to look, or the way God set it up is he would not see the broken law beneath the blood. But they weren't forgiven. They weren't washed clean. They weren't made new. They didn't have new lives and new spirits. They were just covered. But when Jesus came, he shed that precious blood. Somebody said, thank God for the blood of Jesus. And that blood of Jesus was enough. As a matter of fact, the blood of Jesus was more than enough. It was beyond. It was a sacrifice beyond all need altogether. Jesus paid the ultimate price for every sin, and we have the right to receive it. Because of that, the curse that was sin in the law and that was only covered through the blood of Jesus poured over the ark, poured over sin itself, we are now born again and free. Old things pass away. Hallelujah. And all things become new. Somebody say, I'm brand new in Jesus. I'm brand new in Jesus. And old things pass away. I'm not bound by that curse. I'm not bound by that law of sin. I'm free. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I don't have to worry about that anymore. When I confess my sins and believe in my heart the Lord Jesus Christ, and I enforce the righteousness of God in me, I live sin-free because he's my righteousness. None is righteous, no, not one. But I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Look at somebody and say, I'm righteous through Jesus. That was broken. That means you can live better. You can walk better. You can talk better. You can act better. You can think better. Hallelujah. Come on. Everything about you can be changed. Somebody says, I'm struggling with sin. Stop struggling. Stop struggling with sin. Stop struggling with it. The reason you're struggling is because you don't want to be disciplined enough to enforce the righteousness of God in you. You have to enforce it. You have to enforce that righteousness. God doesn't enforce it. He said, crucify your flesh. How do you know you have the power to crucify your flesh? You have the power to renew your mind? That God gave you the power to do it. Somebody say, I've got the power. Secondly was poverty. The second part of the law was there was poverty in the law. People were bound to poverty. I want you to know right now, I will not buy a poor boy sandwich. I don't make poor boy meals. I don't go to poor boy places. I don't sing poor boy songs because I'm not poor. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed. I don't have to be poor no more. Look at somebody say, I don't got to be poor no more. I've been redeemed from it. How many know God said, I've got more than enough? Look at somebody and say, you got more than enough. Say, I got more than enough. And then I want you to say it to them again. Say, we have more than enough. I know you might be sitting there, you don't understand. I haven't paid my car payment. I want you to know something. I'm going to tell you right now. According to God's word, you have more than enough. You have more than enough for your business, more than enough for your marriage, more than enough for your children, for your home. God has provided more than enough. I want you to shout it, I've got more than enough. Come on, somebody, I've got more than enough. Come on, be a Pentecostal church this morning. Shout out, I've got more than enough. God has provided me with more than enough. Say this, God is El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. How many believe there's more than enough for every bill? More than enough for every need? More than enough. My God shall supply. Come on, there ought to be more shouting than that. My God shall supply all of my needs. Oh, come on, let's get that religion off of us and put on Jesus. Put on Jesus right now. Put him on. I know it may look bad, but I want you to know something. God has the final say. And what he says matters. What he says, what he has said is truth. He said, I am the way. That means he's your way. He said, I'm the truth. I'm above the fact. I'm more than the fact. I'm the truth. What I say becomes. He said, I am more. He said, he became poor that through his poverty, you could be rich. That means you're going to have more than enough. You're not just barely getting by and scraping by. You say, well, I don't know how that's going to work. The Lord's going to make it work. You don't have to worry about it. Don't fret for tomorrow. For tomorrow will take care of itself. Hallelujah. I want you to know something. It may be you say, well, you don't understand what my wife is like. She's a spendaholic. You don't understand my husband. I can't get him to go to work. Well, God will get him to go to work, and God will stop your wife from spending money. He's more than enough. I'm going to keep preaching whether y'all like it or not. I know y'all like it. I'm just kidding. You like it. You're loving it. You're loving it. I don't expect to preach this and it not be enough. I don't expect to preach this and you halfway understand, because we go through life, and as we go through life, we come through stumbling blocks. We come through moments where we're standing at a house and it's unpaid for. The banker stood there and looked at us and said, we're coming to collect it. Right now, we're coming to collect it. Either I'm sitting there, I'm just waiting on the Holy Spirit. Lord, what do I do now? And the Lord spoke to me and God gave me a word of wisdom. And I said to them, here's what we'll do. I said, if you'll give me 30 days, I said, I'll fix the problem. I didn't even know how. I said, if you'll give me 30 days, I'll fix the problem. If not, you can come get your sticks. Well, Mr. McCarr, we really don't want to come get all that. Well, we'd like it to be fixed. I said, well, then you're going to have to trust me for 30 days. I called the contractor in and sat him down, made him tell to the bankers everything that was wrong, what had gone wrong, what he had done wrong, and explained. and explain it to them. They're not mad at him. They don't care whether he ever does anything more. They only cared whether I paid the bill. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, I'd have to go after him. They weren't going after him. They just going after me. Something happened in that room. It's like God came in there, touched the bankers, touched everybody else, and solved that problem for me in that room. Within 30 days, God had gotten me out of trouble. Within 30 days, God had come through. Within 30 days, a miracle had occurred, and everything we needed to complete the project had come to pass. And I'm going to tell you why. Because God has the final say. I know the banker thought he had the final say, but he didn't have the final say. God has the final say. Come on, look over at somebody and say, God has the final say. I'm preaching better than you're shouting, because some of y'all are standing there. You don't know how you're going to make it. You don't know how it's going to happen. You don't know how the raise is coming. You don't know how the job's going to pan out. You don't know what the boss is going to do. You don't know what the wife is going to do. You don't know what the husband is going to do. All you know is, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I want you to know something. I know what you should do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. And I want to tell you something. He's going to direct your path. How many know God has the final say? Look at somebody and say, God has the final say. God has the final say. You know, let me read this to you. I want you to get this before, you know, I'm not going to go too much longer. But the Bible says that he's the Alpha and the Omega. Revelation 1:8 says this. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. Now what this is that it's the last letters of the Greek alphabet. That's what he said here. He said the last letters of the Greek alphabet. Actually, he didn't say the Greek alphabet because he was Aramaic and he spoke Hebrew, or it was written in Hebrew. So it should say, I'm the Alpha, or Aleph, and the Tav, T-A-V, Tav. Aleph and Tav. Now, interestingly enough, this is what this means. Aleph and Tav are the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So when Jesus said this, he said, I have the first word in your situation. And then he said, I have the last word. Oh, I'm not getting enough shouting. If you can't see this, I have the first word in your situation, and I have the last word in your situation. God knows where you're going. He knows. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. You're not a surprise, and nor is what you went through. But the moment you started that process, God had the first word before it started, and he's got the last word before it ends. Come on, somebody. You know, interestingly enough, it not only says this when it talks about the Alpha and the Omega, it says this. This is the biblical association related to it. If you looked at it in the Hebrew, you would see that the first word in there is the word ox, and the last word is tav, which means the word ox in the word, the first word is, he's the sacrificial lamb. The last one is tav, which is cross. In other words, the lamb on the cross had the first word. I don't think nobody got it. I might be a little deep right there. I might have just got a little deep for you. That the man that died on the cross and shed his blood. Validated all of it. By doing that, that he has the first word and the last word. I just spun over your head. I don't know that you got that theologically. Maybe I need to come down to your level. God has the last word. I just wanted to solve the problem so I could give you the true article of what had happened. So you understand, the Bible doesn't have some random garbage in it that was written down by man. No, it has the very word of God. And everything you need, everything that's a challenge to you, every problem in your life is consumed by the word of God. Somebody say, God has the final say. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the final word in your situation. Somebody ought to shout out amen. Amen. Shout out amen. Amen. 1 Peter 1:3 says it this way. Jesus has the last word on everyone and everything. From angels to armies, he's standing right alongside God. And what he says goes. One word from God is the only word you need. Somebody ought to shout out amen. You know, we ought to just say, no thanks. I know the secret. God has the last say. Come on, somebody. No thanks. I know the secret. God has the final say. Come on. Come on. Say it with me. No. Say it this way. No way. God has the final say. Come on. No way. God has the final say. You know, when I talk about this, y'all, I don't think everybody's getting this because I want to set this up as truly as I can. When you're looking for a mate, God has the final say. When you're looking for your marriage to recover, God has the final say. When you're looking for your business to explode, when you're looking for health in your body, by Jesus' stripes. Oh, I know what the doctors may have said. I know what the lawyer may have said. I know what the bank may have said. I know what the guy at the car dealership said. I know what the attorneys have said. I know what your neighbor said. I know what the friend down the street said. I know what your parents even said. But I want you to know something. They don't have the final say. God has the final say. Come on, somebody. God has the final say. There are so many stories in the Bible that confirm what I'm trying to say to you, that we're to look to God for the answers to our conditions. We're to look to God for the answers and solutions, and we're to trust in Him. I don't serve God because He's a fiction. I serve Him because He's real. I don't depend on God because there's no answers. I depend on God because there are answers. You know, as simple as it may be, I was on my way to... We were leaving New York, and we were going to go down to see my aunt and then go over and see my grandmother in Chattanooga. And so we left Buffalo, and we come down through Muscle Shoals, Alabama, which is where my aunt and uncle were. We got to my aunt and uncle's house, but before we did, my sister punched me in the mouth while I was eating an apple. And when she did, she knocked out my permanent tooth in the middle of my mouth. It was my second tooth. And it was sticking out the apple. My parents are losing their mind. What do we do now? I mean, you lost your permanent tooth. What's going on? What are we going to do? How are we going to? I thank God I grew up in a Holy Ghost home. And so we're driving to Muscle Shoals. When we get to Muscle Shoals, you know, it's been enough time that my aunt and uncle see me come in, and they knew I had a permanent tooth there. And they're, what happened to your son's tooth? And they said, well, Leah hit him and knocked it out in an apple. And so my aunt and uncle went crazy. Well, y'all need to go to the dentist to get this fixed. Y'all got to put it on the tooth. You got to do something to get this fixed. He can't have an empty hole in the middle of his mouth. Again, I mean, you know how it goes. And so, you know, we're standing there, and everybody's arguing about me getting a tooth. And so finally I looked up and said, well, we're going to grandma's house. When we come back, there's going to be another tooth there. Oh, you know, I mean, family's going crazy. Mad at my mom and dad. You guys have taught these guys crazy. You're crazy. They're crazy. Everybody, you got to go to the dentist and you got to get this done. I'm not saying don't go to the dentist. I'm just saying this was one of those moments. And so we left their house and drove down to Chattanooga, Tennessee. While we were in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I got my hand on my mouth and I'm praying. I'm laying hands on it. In Jesus' name, this tooth is going to come back. I command this tooth to come back. I'm just a kid. Come back in my mouth. No tooth. We start the process back. Got to go back home to Buffalo, New York. We're going back through their house to go see them. And we're coming to Muscle Shoals, Alabama. I got my finger in my mouth. Lord, I thank you for this tooth. I thank you right now. There's a tooth. Everybody around me said, there's not going to be a tooth. Even my parents who are trusting the Lord have that. Now, son, y'all know that moment, that now, son moment. Now, maybe it's not for now. And maybe God doesn't have that for right this minute. And maybe he don't want to do it right this second. And maybe it's going to happen in another time. And maybe he just, you know, because there are other ways. I agree with that. But I was pretty in faith. That's all I know. I was really in faith. I'm sticking my... We drive down their road going towards their house. No tooth. No tooth. Now, Steve. My parents are panicking. I see sweat on my dad. When the car tires hit the driveway from my aunt and uncle's house, I cut my thumb on a tooth. By the time, I walked up to the door, now just think about this, they didn't have a tooth. This is the third tooth, but I mean, they don't just come out in a minute. But by the time I had got to the front door, you could see the tooth sticking out of my mouth. My aunt opened the door. I said, look what the Lord did. She never came out of her room the rest of the time, but she saw what the Lord could do. You know something? God has the final say. He doesn't love me more than he loves you. He doesn't have special miracles for Pastor Steve. He has miracles for all of us. And I want to say this to you. It doesn't matter where you grew up. It doesn't matter how bad your situation. I'm sad about that. And I have empathy towards what you've gone through as a human. But you can trust in the Lord. I know he never abused you. He never beat you. He never hurt you. He never abused you in any way. He never lied about you. He never stole from you. He never spoke badly about you. He never discouraged you. He never let you down. God is always for you. And if God is for you, what does it matter who's against you? Wipe it away. Just wipe it away and say, God, you have more in store. God has the final say. God has the final word. Look at your neighbor and say, God's got the final say. He's got the final say over your raise. He's got the final say over your job performance. He's got the final say. He knows how to make things work out in your favor. I'm not getting enough shouting because are y'all getting what I'm trying to tell you? Do you understand who you are in God, who you are in Christ Jesus, who you are, who has provided for you in every way? We're not trying to get God to provide for us. Many of us live in this idea that we're making God do something for us. No, he was the beginning and the end. What he said was, it is, and it ever will be. It's not going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's good all the time, and all the time he's good. Every good gift. I'm not getting enough shouting. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God's not the one who hurts us. God is the one who helps us. God's not the one that disrupts us. God is the one that straightens us out. God is not the one who confuses us. He's the one who helps us see it straight. God knows what he's doing. I'm not looking at God as my enemy. God is my friend. And if God is for me, he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Shout it out. God's got it all worked out. Hallelujah. Put your hands up and give him praise, would you?